The Sunoco, S-U-N-O-C-O, Sunoco News Voice of the Air, presented by your Sunoco dealers. Ladies and gentlemen, Lowell Thomas.
Good evening, everybody. There was fast action in Paris today, fast all the way around. Great Britain and France lost no time in sending invitations to 22 nations of Europe for a get-together on the Marshall Plan. Molotov, he was equally expeditious, if not more so, expressing the Soviet view with a breach of common courtesy. Having given the program for American aid to Europe a complete turndown yesterday, Molotov cleared out today without even saying goodbye. Before dawn this morning, a party of Russians went speeding to the airport at Le Bourget, and there they took off in the plane bound for Moscow. Molotov and his aides leaving in secrecy, pulling out without a single diplomatic flourish. The other foreign ministers of the Big Three, Bevin of Great Britain and Bideau of France, having no idea their Soviet colleague was going, they were surprised when they found he had left. When Molotov arrived in Paris last week to begin the discussion, he was received by French Foreign Minister Bideau with all the ceremonies of state. The red carpet rolled out in the most formal fashion, which elaborate arrival was in startling contrast to the departure today, Molotov packing off without even a parting handshake. It would be hard to think of anything more graphic than this in terms of common manners, very common, expression of a split between the West and the East, after which Bevin and Bideau emphasized the cleavage in their own fashion, taking prompt action on the Marshall Plan and leaving Soviet Russia out. They had a quick conference, and then Bevin flew back to London, leaving Bideau and the French government to issue invitations for a general European parley. 22 European countries are asked to join in a meeting to take concerted action for economic recovery and for estimating the amount of help needed from the United States. The list of 22 includes everybody except Soviet Russia, which has declared itself out, also Franco-Spain, Franco being persona non grata, and Germany, which has no government. The list of 22 includes all the Soviet satellites, Yugoslavia, Albania, Bulgaria, Romania, Hungary, Czechoslovakia, and Poland. It's doubtful if any of the red puppets will participate in the move to take advantage of the offer made by American Secretary of State Marshall. No doubt they'll feel a great temptation to participate in the bounty of Uncle Sam, but will the Soviets let them? The Marshall Plan Conference, it's called for right away. July 12th, Paris. Here at home, the verdict in the Garson case had a nerve-wracking suspense today. Not that there was much doubt about what the verdict would be. After the 47-day trial, the expectation was that the jury would say guilty. The three defendants were aware of this. 72-year-old former Congressman May and the two Garson brothers, who built the $78 million empire of war contracts. So there was not much surprise when the foreman of the jury announced today guilty on all three counts of bribery charged in the indictment. The nerve-wracking suspense lay in the fact of how often that one word was repeated. Guilty, over and over again, repeated 108 times in that Washington courtroom today. According to the formality, the jury was polled, each one of the 12, seven men and five women. Each was called up to give his individual verdict on each of three charges against each of the three defendants. 12 jurors times three charges times three defendants, and it took 7 long minutes while the word guilty was being pronounced 108 times. Former Congressman May, at 72 years, took it like the Kentucky country judge that he used to be, with dignity. As he listened to the interminable repetition of guilty, he grew rigid, his fingertips pressed hard against the top of the table. But he maintained his composure. "To newsmen," he said, "I have no comment. The case will be appealed." Of the two Garson brothers, the elder, Dr. Henry Garson, displayed equal composure. But it was different with the younger brother, Murray Garson, a powerfully built man with a dark beard. He seemed about to crack. During the long 7 minutes, and when the last repetition of the word guilty had been pronounced, he burst into tears and shouted defiantly, "I'm still not guilty." His lawyer came to him and clapped a hand over his mouth to restrain a further outbreak of defiance. Each of the three defendants faces a penalty of as much as 6 years in prison and a $30,000 fine. The federal judge will pronounce sentence in about 2 weeks, pending an appeal. In the far Pacific today, a U.S. Army combat landing barge took Ernie Pyle on his last trip. Ernie Pyle, the laureate of the GIs, who went on so many journeys, telling the story of the soldiers in the foxhole. He has left E.S. referred to his hometown, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and she answered, "No, Ernie is where he'd want to be, with his friends.
So today Ernie was taken to join a host of his fallen friends on that great island so bitterly fought for, the island of Okinawa. The mystery of the flying saucers is becoming fantastic, with a whole string of witnesses in 8 states all over the country and in Canada declaring that they have seen the weird objects speeding through the air. And these include a U.S. meteorologist, also the Lieutenant Governor of Idaho. Well, what's it all about? Are the flying saucers some kind of secret weapons, guided missiles, either American or foreign? Or are people just seeing things? They were first reported 10 days ago. Remember that aviator flying over the Pacific Northwest, over Mount Rainier? He told of seeing a whole flock of objects, shaped like discs, going at great speed over mountain country. Since then, dozens of witnesses have come forward about them. The U.S. meteorologist is E.E. Unger of Louisville, Kentucky. He says that he saw a circular object speeding through the air on Tuesday night, going around 100 miles an hour, giving off an orange light. The Lieutenant Governor of Idaho, Donald Whitehead, he says he saw comet-like objects and estimated their speed at about 1,200 miles an hour. At San Francisco, a sergeant of the State Highway Patrol chiefs, about the size of a football, says he. He adds that he saw them whizzing over San Francisco Bay while he was on duty at the Golden Gate Bridge. And in Denver, Colorado, Henry Martin, W. Herod, and Harry Denny all insist that they caught a glimpse of a flock of bright objects traveling at about 5,000 feet last night. Martin says they looked like coffee can tops flying southwest, colossal coffee can tops. Harry Denny just repeated the famous words of the Hoosier poet Riley, "What's the world a-comin' to?" At Bath, South Carolina, Jack Reams tells of a flying saucer about 12 inches in diameter that gave off a weird light. A woman at Monterey, California, saw them today, quite rounded with a red glow on the edge, says she. The Canadian report comes from eastern Canada, Prince Edward Island. Dr. and Mrs. C.K. Gunn and 2 friends say they saw strange objects moving at terrific speeds through the sky. And the latest is a statement by the U.S. Army Air Forces. They've been investigating these stories of the flying saucers. And what have they discovered? Nothing at all. The evidence they have been able to find is so nebulous and vague that they have dropped the investigation. We feel it's all up in the clouds, and we can't do anything until we get more concrete information, said the spokesman for the Army Air Forces today. I have a letter here asking for some information. It's a letter from Miss Coe Dowling of Wadsworth, Ohio, who refers back to a story that I had on the air some days ago. It concerned the mournful, dramatic plight of Britain's old man of the Labour Party, to whom a special parliamentary pension is being granted. His wife, the news account related, had been injured in the wartime bombing of London. Miss Coe Dowling is deeply sympathetic and asks to have me make one point a little bit more clear. She writes as follows. On your program, I heard you tell about the woman crippled in the Blitz. Will you kindly tell me, she goes on, what part of the anatomy the Blitz is, so that I may properly sympathize with that poor woman in Britain, which seems to hit me right square in the Blitz, whatever part of the anatomy it may be, I having gotten slightly tangled up with the great possibilities that our American language has for ambiguity. And now, Hugh, let's hear from you, and I hope no ambiguity.
We'll be very careful, Lowell. Friends, millions upon millions of people have just been listening to the Sunoco News Program. Listening on automobile radios and in resort hotels, tourist cottages, weekend cabins, living rooms, dining rooms, anywhere and everywhere. Many of them are already off on their vacations. Many others will leave soon. And to one and all, we have just one reminder. It's this. No matter who you are, where you are, you'll find there's one and only one grade of Sunoco Dynafuel, the best that's ever been made by Sun Oil Company. It takes the gamble, takes the guesswork out of buying gasoline. Dynafuel, Sunoco Dynafuel, gives you high test performance, yet costs you less than other high test gasolines. This summer, make it a rule to drive on Dynafuel. Now back to Lowell Thomas, who says,
and take it easy on the highway tomorrow, and so long until the 4th of July.
And Sunoco reminds you, your Sunoco dealer checks your oil to save you engine trouble.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
WNBC, New York, 7 p.m. BULOVA, Bulova Watch Time. America runs on Bulova Time.